The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is Lordship Salvation, and how widespread is it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We've got a special guest on the show today, Steve Elkins. I think you're going to enjoy his perspective and what he has to say. We're going to discuss this question that came in from a listener, and so let's get right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus, and we have a guest in the studio today.
Oh, we do? Who is the guest?
Steve Elkins.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah,
Steve,
welcome
it's
back.
Good to see you.
Now, you are a writer, and you have a book, Keys, what is it called again?
Keys to Kingdom Greatness.
Keys to Kingdom Greatness. It's a commentary on basically the Sermon on the Mount. So if you ever struggled with that as a dispensationalist, as a grace person, you have a book about that. You also have one on the Romans Road. Also, that's available in our bookstore, I think. Yeah. Are both of those available in our bookstore?
I think
they are. Right?
Yeah.
You are one of the chosen few authors. People always ask us, how do we get in your bookstore? And it's like, well, I'm not going to tell you because it's a secret.
Why don't we have Steve tell a brief little bio about yourself?
Well, I worked in Young Life for about 25 years, and I loved it. It's wonderful. In fact, people don't know it, but Young Life was really rooted in free grace theology originally. Dr. Chafer had a tremendous influence on Jim Rayburn, the founder. He was a student of the seminary in the late 30s. Young Life started in 1940 with him and four or five other seminary students. And it was awesome. And Rayburn talked about how he often said there wouldn't be any Young Life if it hadn't been for Dr. Chafer. Hmm. This great man of grace, he called him. And he talked about how Chafer described the gospel as a package all wrapped up, ready for the taking. It's totally paid for. Nothing needs to be added or can be added to it. It's all done. And other people, Billy Graham and Howard Hendricks, both said he was the best speaker they ever heard.
Wow.
Hendricks told me personally he never saw anyone lead people to faith like Jim Rayburn did. Glad to be a part of that. I was a pastor for 11 years down in Corsicana and just retired as an associate pastor at Coppell Bible Fellowship, a really neat Free Grace Church.
Yeah, that's where Bob's been attending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I visited a few times. Well, we're glad to have you back in the studio, and I just came across a comment on one of these Facebook groups I'm a part of. This is like a Southern Baptist group. And someone just said, just today, I was kind of impressed by it. They said, I've been listening to this Grace in Focus podcast with Sean Lazar and Bob Wilkin for the last month. And
wow.
It has just totally opened my eyes to Lordship Salvation and problems with Calvinism and how those things have been really ruining my life and causing me so much angst. Mm-hmm. I don't know this person. I just happened to come across it. So that is kind of what one of the main things that our show is about. But I think it's time for a refresher, and it's good to have a third person give their own perspective on this. Because we're going to talk about Lordship Salvation over the next 5 to 10 episodes. Is that right?
Yeah, and why that is so tied into Steve Elkins is because Steve graduated from Dallas Seminary and wrote his master's thesis on Lordship Salvation.
Ah, okay, great. So how long ago was that?
1984. I was finished with it in 83. Spent a lot of hours in Zane's office, even though he wasn't my reader. Craig Glickman was, and it was a great experience.
Okay, awesome. All right.
So that's 38 years.
Yeah.
I was 5 years old. Can people access that thesis, by the way?
Probably on Atler or whatever it is with the theological libraries. It's at Dallas Seminary.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right, so the first question we have is the most basic one. What is Lordship Salvation, and how widespread is it?
It is very widespread. It seems to be winning the day when you think of books and media and the radio preachers and so forth. I think it comes in three different varieties. There's Calvinistic, Arminian, and probably the latest on the scene is what's called New Perspectives.
Okay.
Calvinistic variety would say you've got to have good works to prove that you're really saved. An Arminian variety would say you've got to have good works to keep your salvation.
Yeah.
The New Perspectives crowd says there's one big final judgment. They lump all the judgments in together. That's an issue all to itself. Terribly unbiblical. But they say there's a final justification, and that justification is by works. And so it's a lordship issue, too. But all of these look at one's works as the primary grounds for assurance, and that's the deadly poison of it all.
Now, that's kind of within evangelical circles. What about a
But
lot
that
of,
would include Roman Catholics.
Well, I was going to ask.
Orthodox.
Do they have their own spin on lordship salvation, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think Arminian would cover most of them, you know, 90% or whatever denominations in Christendom, so maybe we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, because so many denominations, and you can Church of Christ, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, whatever, Anglican, they believe that you need these good works to stay saved. Although I wonder even if they would get to the point of saying, I am saved. I think they'd say, I wonder if they'd push it even farther and just say, I hope to be saved one day if I do enough good works.
Well, you know, Schreiner and Kennedy in their book, The Race Set Before Us, and they're both Calvinists. Schreiner teaches at Southern Seminary, which is a 5-point Calvinist school. And they say the Christian is running the Christian race, and he must persevere to the end in order to win the prize. And they specifically say the prize is everlasting life. Or they also call it final salvation. It's funny how a lot of Calvinists now, John Piper speaks of final salvation too. They say, well, we have something now if we're truly born again, but we don't really know if we are. But we're trying to get this final salvation, which we'll get, evidently, they think, like you say, at this one final judgment. They think the judgment seat of Christ is another name for the great white throne judgment.
Right. Right. You know, we'll talk about motives and stuff in a little bit, I think. But one of the things that ends up happening is they conflate eternal rewards passages, discipleship passages, Christian life passages with clear gospel passages, and then everything gets totally muddied up.
Right.
And you do end up with things like, well, you do have to have works or something, or you have to persevere.
Sure. So in your experience with Young Life and as a pastor, was this the default belief of most of the people you met?
Unfortunately, in Young Life circles, and I can only speak up and away from it for a few years, I still serve on committee, adult committee, but it seems like there are pockets all over the country of at least soft lordship position. Thankfully, in our area down here in Texas, it's by and large, I think, free grace. They might not know about GES or Zane Hodges and things like that. But they're still pretty clear, old Dallas Seminary influence and so forth. But yes, it's won the day, no doubt about it.
Well, let's define what lordship salvation is. Could you give us a definition?
Sure. I think maybe how about a description? Because
okay.
What lordship salvation does, I don't know how many people are out there saying, I'm a lordship salvationist. But what these different forms that we just mentioned do is they bring in things like repentance, discipleship, yieldedness to Christ, subjective lordship in our lives, persevering in good works. And these things are necessary to show that you're a, quote, true believer. If you don't have them, these subjective elements,
right,
then you're not really a believer.
Now, just to clarify, this isn't a disagreement that Christ is Lord. He is. This
right.
isn't a disagreement we should be doing good works. We should.
Right.
This is a disagreement about the place that works has in salvation and assurance. Is that right?
You hit the nail on the head right there. Assurance is the key issue of it all. Once it's such a tragedy. Yes, it's a false gospel on the front of it, and it's not a saving gospel. We'll talk about that in a minute. But assurance, when they make these subjective elements, and by subjective we mean things that you do, you're the subject, and you have to do these things. You've got to yield to his lordship, repent, be a disciple, straighten up your life, and whatever else. You rule out any possibility of objective assurance of your salvation.
Now, what's the difference between subjective and objective assurance?
In Zane Hodges' seminal book, The Gospel Under Siege, he might not have used this phrase, but this was the driving heart and force of it, is that to have objective assurance of our salvation, our faith has to be in something that's complete and perfect and outside of ourselves, not something that we do that's shifting and changing or contingent, if you will. But it's got to be in something that's perfect and complete. And the promise of Christ fits that perfectly. It's objective. It's outside of ourselves. It's true whether we believe it or not. And it rests really on his integrity to keep his promise, not something that we do, even in persevering in our faith, which I'm sure we'll talk more about in a minute.
Okay, what kind of verses would you use for the objective promise?
Well, really, the gospel right on the face of it has assurance in it. Like in John 6:47, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you. So assurance is right in the first words of the gospel. Mm. I say to you, whoever believes in me has everlasting life.
Yeah.
Well, even in the word believe, understood biblically, there's assurance because the word believe, unlike our English, it's basically a one-to-one correspondent with our English word believe. However, there is a little difference in that. If I were to say, I believe I'll be there at 10:45,
right,
by the inflection, I might not be there. I'm not sure about it.
But yeah.
There's no extant usage of the ancient word pistis or pistuo, where it has that kind of possibility. If you believe something, then you're certain of it. You know it's going to happen. And that fits the case biblically over and over. Can I give a couple examples?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Well, like in James 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith without doubting, because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Point being, there are so many passages, especially like when Jesus says, if you ask in faith without any doubting, or in Romans where he says, you know, blessed are you if you don't condemn yourself in what you believe, because he who doubts, you know, he's condemned in his conscience. My point of this is there are verses over and over in the Bible where faith and doubt are juxtaposed to each other. They're mutually exclusive.
Right, and that's a great point to make, because a lot of people get confused about this. Have you ever heard someone say, faith is a mixture of doubt? To believe anything means to also doubt it at the same time. But biblically, those are opposed. You either believe or you doubt. You don't do both.
Exactly. In the Bible, there might be varying degrees of doubt. There are no varying degrees of belief. You either believe something or you don't. If there's any doubt at all in it biblically, then you're doubting. You're not believing. And so like when Jesus says to Martha, the classic example, he shared the gospel with her and he says, do you believe this? She gives a full-blown Johannine purpose statement at the end of the book. Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Jesus doesn't correct her. But you either believe it or you don't. And he doesn't turn around and say, well, how do you know if you really believe her? How much do you believe? 50%, 80%, 90%? How sure are you? You either believe it or you don't.
Now, I think in the next episode, we need to discuss just a bit more about the subjective, because you just barely touched on it.
We'll do that. To summarize what we've discussed, Lordship salvation is an issue of how works plays a role in salvation and assurance. It is widespread because most people think their salvation and therefore their assurance of salvation does depend upon their works in some way. We'll talk in the next episode about how that cannot give you any assurance if you're logical and consistent. It won't give you assurance. And Lordship salvation is going to lead you to the opposite of faith. It's going to lead you to doubt Jesus. Next episode, Steve, let's pick up this thought. Thanks for being in the studio with us.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue with Steve Elkins as we discuss what Lordship Salvation is all about and how it relates to assurance. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.